Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm super excited today. I've got one of my all-time friends and legend. I don't think there's a better way of describing. I have the opportunity of having Alex Mandozian on the call with us today. Alex, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, Dave, anyone who was online before 2000 is a legend by default.
Well, not only by default then, but also you're a legend with regard to the amount of content and really what you've contributed to the community. I think I've always just admired your work. I've admired what you've done, and this is super exciting for me to have you here today. So thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. I'm going to make sure I forward that to my mom, Carol.
You should. Well, one of the things that you are just awesome at doing, which is some of the things that a lot of everyone who's, you know, listening to Funnel Hacker Radio is concerned about, and that is conversions. And that is, you know, here we're driving people to a site, but what's really happening when they get there? So if you don't mind, I'd love just to dive right in. And let's kind of talk just about, you know, the specific incident in your life really kind of inspired you, you know, motivated you to really focus on conversion as your primary marketing focus. Is that all right?
It's okay. Yeah, it's a true story, and it's not embellished. You know how some stories change over time, right? They sound better. It was 1989. The location was MacArthur Park in Los Angeles, and it was a very tough time for me because 16 months earlier, I was celebrating launching my own business, which was a franchise, Polar Frozen Yogurt in Long Beach, California, about 30 miles away from MacArthur Park. And I was so excited. I had the blueprints to the store, and we were going to serve frozen yogurt, and I knew nothing about the frozen yogurt business. I didn't know what a marketing funnel was. I was just out of college and unemployable. And within a year, I was $242,000 in debt. All the money my grandparents had left for me, they had passed, was gone. All the money that my parents had given to me in just trying to run the business, that was gone. And it was a space in my life where I didn't want to go to Thanksgiving dinner with any relatives because they kept reminding me, how could you do this to your grandparents? How could you do this to your parents? And so rather than moving home, I decided, let me stop by a park so I can have my park bench story. At least I can tell it in the future. And I love to tell you, Dave, that, you know, it was winter and bitter cold and I was freezing, frostbitten.
But not it was in Long Beach.
No. Well, actually, this was in Los Angeles. Oh, so, LA? You know, I'm going on my way home to my mother's house because I have to move in with her. I have nothing left, not two nickels to rub. I'm in debt. The SBC is foreclosing on my mother's house because she put that up on as collateral. So it was really a trying time. And it was my first business, you know, no network, nothing. You know, so there was nothing for me to fall back on. And so it's like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? It was that kind of thing. And then my relatives were saying, how could you do this? You know, so it's a time of shame and guilt. You know, although they're worthless emotions, those are the only things that popped up for me. And en route home to Pasadena, California, where my mom lived and still lives, the house never went into foreclosure. What I did is I stopped by MacArthur Park, and it was summertime. It was comfortable, and there was a park bench there, and I parked my Volkswagen Jetta, you know, on the side of the road, and I just decided to sit there and kind of wallow in my you know, borderline misery, and you know, just kind of, you know, be alone while I'm depressed, you know, being in deep debt, and watching an older woman, heavy set, you know, she was feeding pigeons. In watching her feed pigeons, and converting those pigeons into people, you know, pigeons and animals that were afraid of her to actually feeding from her hand and landing on her shoulders and head and actually pooping on her shoulders because she was so popular, right? That's good luck in many countries. I watched this process, and back then it meant nothing to me, but it defined what conversion's all about. Conversion's about movement. Marketing is movement. Movement is life. Albert Einstein said nothing happens until something moves. So whether it's a suspect who clicks, that converts into a prospect who opts in, who converts into a buyer who actually purchases something for one or more dollars. Steve Jobs did it for 99 cents for so many years. And then a multi-buyer who buys again and again and again. It requires movement. where movement means money is what conversion really is. And so I used the term conversion back in 1999, and it really wasn't thrown around in the internet marketing space until like 19 or 2006, 2007, you know, not even in the 19s. And because you can just look it up, you know, archive.org. But what I observed, this older woman, she was heavy. She was right out of Mary Poppins, you know, feed the birds, tuppence a bag. And she put, it wasn't even a quarter. It was a nickel. That's how far back it goes, in the birdseed machine. And she was walking towards the pigeons. And what do? They kind of dobble their head a little bit back and forth, if you can kind of see that motion. And they were walking away from her. But she wasn't startling them. She was kind of close, you know, slowly walking closer and closer. And then they'd walk away. And she just wanted them to feed from the palm of her hand. Well, they wouldn't go for it. So then she turned around and she showed the bait. She showed the bird seed. And very, very cleverly, they followed her, because they're supposed to be stupid, but they're smart. They want to eat, right? They're hungry. They're hungry pigeons. And so they were walking towards her. And then she turned around, and then they turned around and they started walking away. She turned around, and then the pigeons turned around. And what happened was the gap was getting less and less and less. Finally, it got so tight where she got onto one knee, and you know, because she was more on the heavier side, it looked uncomfortable, but she wanted to get on one knee and just feed them. And she did. She put her palm down full of birdseed, probably like an adolescent, very courageous pigeon came up and like plucked her hand and took some seeds. And then the rest of the pigeons, they did the same thing. And I said, wow, after the first one, look what happens. Trust is viral. And so I thought that was the miracle, but the miracle was the next day, because I spent a couple days on this park bench sleeping out of my car because I was ashamed to go home and live with mom, you know, at age 26. I noticed the pigeons recognized her, and they wouldn't go to anyone else. They wouldn't go to me or anyone else. But since she went through that conversion dance, which that's what it was, you know, not too aggressive, but not too passive, just right, like the Goldilocks principle, they just came to her. So I noticed this little kitty, he was maybe, you know, 5 or 6 years of age. He was there because it was summer vacation. He wanted the same result she had, pigeons all over her and just loving her and feeding from her hand, etc. And so what he did is he asked his mom for a nickel. He got the nickel. He got the bird seed. He ran at the pigeons and they flew away. He didn't go through the dance, as many marketers don't go through the dance. And he just threw the bird seed, a full palm of bird seed, just threw it at the pigeons and never had the beak-to-hand relationship. And, you know, I didn't realize it till about a decade later, but that is my core story of how to convert. It has to be a process. Conversion is not a point in time. It is a process. And when I poll my students who are coaches and consultants, who in turn sell to service professionals, chiropractors, financial planners, lawn care professionals, anyone in the service business. I'm a B2B coach and consultant. Well, when I'm polling them, say, do you have a tested and profitable conversion process? I get no less than 83% saying, no, we don't. And my response is, well, how do you have a business? You know, because what's a conversion process? A conversion process is a marketing funnel, right?
Absolutely.
So that's what inspired me. And I actually wasn't inspired then. I was depressed for about 3 years until I got out of the hole. My house, my mom's house never went into foreclosure, thank God. And then I started my life in the infomercial business, and that turned into the internet business, because internet marketing was a lot less expensive than buying media on infomercials. And so electronic marketing, really anything with a plug or a battery, that's my expertise. And conversion is something that is very, very important to me, because without it, we're out of business, Dave.
I love that story. That's fantastic. Well, I mean, Alex, obviously I loved your definition of conversion, and that's that movement. And I just don't think people understand that. And I love the idea of the story as far as the kid, because too many marketers, they see someone as successful like you and think, oh, I can do that. That's no problem. And they just throw tons of stuff out there, run at the birds, and they all scatter away. And then they complain that it just doesn't work. So, just great takeaways. I love the stories. You're a fantastic storyteller.
Thank you. Well, the point is for me to get closer to your listeners. And you do that through story. I mean, mutual friends of ours. Russell Brunson does that. Tony Robbins does that. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, I shared the stage with him one time in Calgary, Canada. You know, he does that as well. He talks about the story of compassion. But story is one of those tools which is going through the same process that elderly woman went through. But it does involve movement. And really, without that movement, nothing happens. So, you know, nothing happens until something is sold. I disagree with that. Nothing happens until a conversion is made.
Well, let's talk. Go ahead.
And if people just remember that, then they won't look at the result anymore. They'll look at the evolution to the result. If I want to, you know, re-engineer a result, I look at what people had to go through. I go to archive.org and look at, you know, all the iterations the site went through. I ask someone who their root mentor was. So my root mentor is Buckminster Fuller. And it goes, you know, there's like two mentors between me and him. And Bucky is no longer alive. I never met him, but that's where everything began. So you got to look at the evolution, how things started, and then you get a much better idea of how to get the result. People just want the result. And they think that they can leapfrog to success, but it doesn't work that way. You know, even a human being takes 40 weeks from becoming a world-class swimmer and getting in against 250 million others and then coming out 40 weeks later, right? And so that's the key, is just look at nature. How long does it take for an acorn to be a giant oak or a watermelon seed to be a watermelon? Everything big was once small, and you got to honor that evolution. But sometimes if you have templates like you know, you've created over the years, then there are some shortcuts, but you still got to learn the process.
Love that. Again, we talk a lot about funnel hacking, you know, trying to learn that process and the evolution of where they got. But again, you're right. You got to do the work. But Alex, if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about why this is so important to the guys, everyone who's listening on this. I mean, we talk a lot about conversions, and I think I hope people understood it's not just the sale. It's that whole process you just went through. Do you mind elaborate a little more on that?
Well, there's an urgent problem. Now, for my avatar, which is Coach Carl or Coach Carla, they have a profile for me. They spend rich in one area of their life. My people, anyway. They spend rich in continuing education. They work 50 to 60 hours a week, sometimes 70 hours. They're not empty nesters. They have a family. Family's very important to them. They're not highly spiritual, but, you know, they do believe in loyalty. And I have a whole profile for them. And unfortunately, their biggest problem, their urgent problem, is they don't have a tested and profitable funnel process, which means they don't have a sales process. They're good at working in the business. They're great coaches and consultants, but they're really bad at working on the business to grow it. And so what I find is they have competing intentions of, you know, they want to make sales, but they don't want any rejection. They want the fruits, but they don't want to, you know, plant the roots. And so the reason why this is so important is because if you learn how to convert, it's easier to convert high-end clients than it is to convert low-end clients. And so if you have, let's say, $100 clients versus $10,000 clients and their prospects, and you want to have 100 conversations with them. This is what I teach my coaches. All right, you're going to have 100 conversations. Here's what you say. That's about 3 a day. And if you don't have those, then, you know, you're fired. We won't work together, and you lost the money you paid me. So they agree, and they set up a contract. You know, we have agreements like you probably do. And then I tell them, look, getting a $10,000 client, that's high end. How many people do you have to convert to have, you know, $10,000? And their answer is one. I go, wow, that's 1% conversion. What if you had 2% conversion? How much money do you make that month? $20,000. I go, great. Now, for a $100 client, if you had 50% conversion, like one out of two, you're closing, which I want to meet that guy or gal because I can't do that. You know, how much money have you made? With a $100 client, if you have 50, you say yes, that's $5,000. So 2% conversion gets you $20,000 for $10,000 clients, and 50% conversion gets you $5,000. So you have over 400% increase with a drastically lower conversion. So it's never about the conversion ultimately. It's about learning the skills so that you can go after higher end clients, which is really the essence of what I teach. They're more profitable, they're easier to get, they're fewer problem children. And we teach them, you know, why it's so important. We teach them flip the funnel. Okay, so once they come into your world and you have a tripwire or an opt-in, tell them what the most expensive thing is. And then if they don't want it, take it away and go to the next level. They don't want that, take that away, go to the next level. If you have five levels or six levels, they'll meet you in the middle. But if you start low and try to upsell, I'm not talking about one-time offers. I'm talking upselling through a process. That's a lot harder than downselling. So we flip the funnel and we do what they do in the real world. If you have three refrigerators, one is 3,000, one is 1,500, and one is 500, well, I take you to the $3,000 one first and say, this is the top of the line. Don't know if it's in your budget or not, but here's what it's got. It's you can have your signature in the ice cubes, right? And then if that's too much and you don't want signature in your ice cubes, you can have garden variety ice cubes for $1,500. And, you know, it has all the little compartments for the meat and the veggies and all that stuff. And if that's not in your budget, then here's the $500 model. It keeps food cold. What do they go for? $1,500. But if you start at $500, then they're not going to get to 1500 or 3000. So you flip the funnel, you go high to low, and that's more natural. But most people go low to high. And so it's important that you not only have a conversion process, but you start with high-end clients. And what if you don't have anything to sell them? Here's what I tell my students and my clients. I tell them, sell it to them first, pre-fund your training, and then come back to me, and I'll tell you what to tell them, right? But don't worry about creating it first and then selling it, because that's expensive. Yeah. Sell it and then create it. And that's what like a fitness location would do. They put up a little trailer and then they sell a bunch of subscriptions, you know, for the year, and then they build the building afterward, right? So That's what we do in the magazine business. I think we do that with continuity membership sites when they prepay. So it's really important because it's good for cash flow. It's good for self-esteem. And we have a process that is very unusual, and it's a very unique promise that does not sell on the traditional ROI method, which most sales trainers teach, you know, return on investment. We don't sell people on here's what your point B looks like. We sell on a different type of process, which doesn't have as much rejection. Anyone can do it. I've taught my son to do it at age 15, and it's dedicated for high-end clients first. Now, if you're going after 10K clients, can't you downsell them to 1K if they say no to 10K? And then those people who say no to 1K, you can go down to $100 clients. And you end up making more money when you go high to low versus low to high. Very basic, very simple, but most marketers, even the ones smarter than me, miss it and teach it just the other way around. Start low, then go high.
Oh, I've seen that mistake so many times, especially as we start having people come in. Everyone thinks, well, I have to start off first with a lead magnet. I have to give away something free, and then I have to go to a tripwire. And I'm like, you guys don't have to start there at all. I mean, that process works for some, but I love your analogy as far as flipping the funnel. That's brilliant. Very, very cool. So tell me what's next as far as when I love you. We're talking about this process you change, you know, we're teaching your son. Is that something you can share here, or is that
sure? Yeah, well, that's a great setup question because you know I'm going to give it to you, right? So I just wanted to create a little bit of a pregnant pause so I didn't give everything away. I've learned that from Russell Brunson, who, by the way, is super annoying because he's a lot more successful than me and he's supposed to be a student of mine. So that's not supposed to happen, but, you know, it happens. So our process is based not on pre-qualification. People out there saying, what? No, it's not based on pre-qualification. It's based on disqualification. What does that mean? You're not innocent until proven guilty because it's too late by then. Okay. You have the wrong client or the wrong student or the wrong partner. You're guilty until proven innocent. The burden of truth is on them. So we disqualify. It's the way Warren Buffett does. He goes, no, 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 to like 1,000 investment offers. And then he says yes to one of them. So this is based on disqualification. And so when people ask me, what's your guarantee? Well, I don't reverse the risk. For my, you know, $100,000 clients, and I do have them, I tell them straight out. I go, you know what? I can provide electricity, but I can't have you flip the switch. So the only guarantee I have is that you will never see that $100,000 again. And then there's like a little bit of a nervous laugh. And I go, oh, by the way, I can guarantee you two other things. You will die one day and you will pay taxes if you're honest. But other than that, I'm not going to double your money back. I'm not going to give you any money back. Once you're in for life. They say, well, how do I know I should go with you? I say, you shouldn't. No one's making you go with me. You either trust me implicitly or, you know, change the channel. In other words, you know, raise the volume or change the channel. So that's not like an entitled attitude. I'm just very firm on that boundary, because at 100K, there is no guarantee. Okay, your reputation is on the line. All I need to do is have one bad experience with a client, and they'll tell the world, because $100,000 paid in advance is a lot of money. So that's the first thing, is disqualify instead of pre-qualify. It's a different mindset. It's saying no first, then yes. Okay, so the unique promise is this: ROI, return on investment, that's how the entire world is trained. Okay, and I don't mean to offend any sales trainer, but you know, that's the way I learned it. And the problem with ROI is that if you're a thought leader, it works. If you have testimonials, it works because you have unquestionable proof. But what if you're starting from scratch? All you can do is promise it, and it's an empty promise because you can't even guarantee they're going to do the work. So you say, okay, you pay me $10,000 and you'll get $20,000 back by such and such time. That's ROI selling. I can't do that. And I don't. I tell them I can't promise you an ROI. However, we have a method called the COI method. Now, I needed an OI just to make it clever, right? So C, just so everyone knows I'm not that smart. But COI stands for cost of inaction. And what it focuses on is not selling. It focuses on making change. And it focuses on the pain of being stuck with point A. It's what most coaching is really focused on, you know, getting unstuck. I believe COI is more efficient than ROI, and it's more effective than ROI. And I've been teaching it for 5 years, and I've proven it. People who are afraid of their shadow have made sales at the high end. And so it's based on more of a fear of loss than the love of gain. And efficiency, by the way, is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things. I learned that from Peter Drucker. I got to interview him for about 15 minutes before he passed on. And, you know, you get to do things right, and you get to do the right things. And it's not focused on the sale. It's focused on making change. And so COI is all about first understanding where they want to be. That's why they call it point B, but not promising point B. You just got to get a sense of where they want to be. For example, okay, who's your ideal client, and what are the top two outcomes or results they want most from you? That's the question I ask, right? Now, let's say you're in the relationship business and you're a relationship coach, like one of my high-end clients. His name is Dr. Jeff Kane out of Florida, relationshipsunscripted.com. He doesn't ask that question because he's in a softer B2C market. So he says, what does your ideal relationship look like, and where do you want to be 12 months from now, right? And so it's just a different question, but it's focused on point B. And then through a sequence of questions, and I have a template, you know, at the end of this interview that I can give away, all 13 questions that I ask. You don't have to ask all 13, but you know, at least they're all there, so you can pull out the ones that you feel uncomfortable with. But through a very simple sequence of rapport building, just like the heavyset woman feeding pigeons, right? And the dance, you start with identifying point B with just two questions, and 11 questions that are left are based on defining point A. So, like, I'll ask people, how much money do you want to make 12 months from now? And they'll say $10,000 a month. Dave, it's amazing. Everyone got the same memo. Everyone says $10,000 a month. And then my next question is, okay, how much do you make now? Again, everyone got the same memo. Everyone says $5,000 a month, right? So now I zero in on the cost of inaction. I say, okay, so if you do the math, where you want to be 12 months from now and where you actually are right now, point A, how far away are you from your monthly goal? They think it's a trick question. They go, $5,000 a month? Like a little bit of self-doubt. And I go, that's right. And then they go, yay, I was right. Finally, someone said I'm right, right? So we celebrate, give each other virtual high five. And then the next question is, I say, okay, now don't celebrate too fast. In other words, you're actually losing $5,000 a month, not only in cash, but in opportunity by not making the change. Say that word just so I know you got it.
Change.
Change. That's what we're focused on. By not making the change necessary where you want to be. Is that correct? And they go, wait a minute, Alex, I'm not losing 5K a month. I said, I didn't say you're losing just 5K. You're also losing an opportunity. You told me 10K 12 months from now. You told me 5K, whether that's the truth or not. So how much are you losing an opportunity in cash and value and whatever? They go, okay, $5,000 a month. Great. That's $60,000 a year, right? They go, yeah. I go, great. Now, why do you think you don't have that right now? So we go deeper and we really start amplifying point A. Then I ask him, what will happen if this predicament doesn't change? Then I ask him, what will happen if it doesn't change in 6 months? So my NLP friends, I'm not an NLP expert, but I learned from my mother, Carol Mondosian. That's my trainer. You know, growing up, you know, when I used to lie to her, I said, Mom, I didn't lie. The truth changed, you know? So, you know, they call it future pacing. But, you know, Charles Dickens did that, you know, in A Christmas Story with Scrooge. So it really works. It's an ancient technology. And then I ask him, okay, what other things are lacking that make it difficult from reaching your financial goal? Now, they're doing all the talking. They are doing the defining. I'm not. I'm just listening like a coach. And then I ask him sometime during the interview. I usually do this with a group, but you can do it one-on-one as well. I say, what's your biggest takeaway you've learned so far? I'm actually asking them, hey, what's your biggest aha moment? And they actually tell me, hey, I like this whole COI thing. I say, well, could you use it in your business? Yep. Could you flip the funnel in your business? They go, yeah. Could you sell a $10,000 client? They go, yep. And I say, we'll see. I don't know if I believe you, because I believe that experience is not the best teacher. And they go, what do you mean? I've heard that all my life. I go, no, experience is the only teacher. And anyone who has kids knows I'm right.
Yeah, I was going to say, been there.
So then I tell them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how inspired or motivated are you from making a permanent change 12 months from now? Now, I haven't talked about working with me, what I'm giving them, nothing. I go, how inspired are you on a scale of 0 to 10 in making a change? Now, I have a client, Virginia Parsons. She's a grandmother of three. She does this with her coaching clients, and she asks them, you know, how inspired are you making a change? I do this with one of my students, Muhammad Sadiq. He runs jvmentor.com, and he asked the same thing, and most of his clients are in Pakistan. I taught him the high-end client method. He went way beyond my self-esteem level. He went to $250,000.
Oh, my.
And he's the guy who inspired me to go to 100K because my self-image didn't allow me to go there, right? And so, you know, if they say 7 or 8 and they give me a 7 or 8 out of 10, I don't continue. I go, well, what would make it a 10? And they say, well, this would have to happen and that would have to happen. I say, well, what if that happened? Where would you be? And they say, oh, I guess a 10. I go, great. I'm not saying working with me. I'm saying making a change. And they say, okay, 10. Now, if they don't give me a 10, I don't continue. I've done this with several thousand people. Two people I can remember never gave me a 10. And I said, interview's over. They said, well, we spent 20 minutes together. Keep going. I go, nope. And they say, why not? I said, because my process is rejection-free, and I don't want you to reject me. I need to protect my confidence. And if I let you have me continue, then I can't ever teach you, because then you're going to, you know, let a crack in, you know, the window as well. And, you know, that's a really bad habit to come in. A lot of network marketers should, you know, understand this, because they don't do what they ask their downlines to do. I'm not in network marketing, but I see that all the time. You know, monkey see, monkey do. Experience is the only teacher. And so when they say, yeah, I'm at a level 10, I'm inspired to make a change, then here's the key question. Now, Russell Brunson says it a different way, but the way I ask them permission to pitch them my offer, I say, okay, so then is it okay if I can share with you what making a permanent change looks like if you did it with my organization? Now, look at the elegance of that question. That's the 12th question I've asked. And they go, yep. I go, great. And then I talk about my core values. Now, they're expecting me to pitch them, but I don't pitch them until they agree with my core values. Because if they don't believe in what I believe, then we can't work together. And then finally, when they say, yep, I'm into it, I get it, then I make the offer. And then I tell them that I start with the 100K program, then the 30K program, then the 12K program. And if they say no, you know, to all three, then I wait a week and I offer them a 5K program. Because, you know, they've been marinating with that decision.
Sure.
And doing this again and again and again, it's developed. And that's just one of my funnels. It's the consulting funnel. I have two others, event marketing funnel and then the info product funnel. But just within that funnel, you know, group, that's worth over $1.5 million. Now, it's not 10 million. It's not 20 million like some of my friends make online. And, you know, anyone listening knows their name, so I'm not going to name drop. But 1.5 million with probably 1.2 million in profit is pretty.
You could almost pay your bills at that.
Yeah. So that's why it's important, because the key takeaways there are COI is easier and more powerful than ROI. And COI is provable. It's demonstrable because they're demonstrating it. They're telling you. Flipping the funnel, start high, then go low. That's important. So that way there's this extreme. Bob Cialdini is a friend of mine. He wrote a famous book 20 years ago called Influence. He said there's the law of contrast. You know, if you have a contrast of levels, 100K, 30K, 12K, and it's designed deliberately that way, $12,000 looks like it's low end.
Yeah, exactly.
and here's the key, though. Here's the key, and most people don't get this, Dave, is my funnels are inclusive. So the 100K has everything that the 30K has and the 12K has. The 30K has everything that the 12K has. And by the way, the 5K, which they don't even know about, that's a surprise, you know? And so it's inclusive and it's cumulative. So I don't have these disjointed funnels. They're inclusive. So 100K means they're getting the 30K offer and the 12K offer and the 5K offer for free. And then the 30K means they're getting the 12K and the $5,000 one for free. And then they get the 12K, they get the $5,000 one for free. So it's not like they're winning a bronze medal. There's actually, you know, one medal, a nickel medal or something, you know, right below that. And I found that not only to work. I mean, there are people that are much better salespeople than me, but I found that it's incredibly simple to do. And you'd need a few things in advance. Like, it's what you do before that strategy session or discovery session that has the most impact, you know, in pre-training them and the application. And, you know, you have an intake, then a diagnosis, then you give a prescription in that order. And so we have a whole process in five steps, but that's why it's so, so important. And, you know, hopefully there are a few key takeaways for people to listen in on.
I think it's been brilliant. It's funny. I remember the first time you talked about COI, actually when we got on the phone a couple of months ago, and I'm like, I just don't get it. And my gosh, the way you've explained it is just brilliant. Oh my gosh. It's, I think, especially for people who don't feel themselves as a hard charging closer.
Yeah.
It's such a soft sell where you basically are having them disqualify themselves. And it kind of goes back to what you said earlier, and that is, I don't want to be rejected. I don't think anybody who listens to this ever wants to be rejected. I mean, that's human nature. But I think, gosh, so is there any reason why people fail at doing this? I mean, I just think it's amazing. I mean, what are some of the roadblocks these guys run up against as they try to put it together?
You know, there are two pillars of crippling any business, and they both start with a P. There's perfectionism and procrastination. And, you know, procrastination is not getting started, and perfectionism is not finishing, you know, because it's got to be perfect, right? And so if you're a, I don't believe in victimhood, if you're a volunteer of any of those two P's or both of them, then, you know, if you don't get started, there's no way that this is going to work. So most people who have it failed, they don't even get started or they don't finish it. And then there's a group of people who just don't do it the right way. They try to leapfrog and they forget the story of the woman feeding pigeons. They think that it just takes one rush at the pigeons to get them to feed from the palm of your hand. But you got to do about six or seven about faces until the distance and the gap gets less and less and less. So you can't ask for marriage on the first date. I mean, it typically does not happen. And when it does, it doesn't lead to lifelong marriage. It's tough enough to, you know, when you do it the right way, right? So, I mean, I've found that this doubles and even triples their conversion rates on discovery sessions. I've discovered that you don't accept problem children, and because, you know, they take accountability from the get-go because you're training them to come in that way. And then you learn how to close sales without personal rejection. Now, you don't close them on the strategy session. You close them way before. So if they don't go through the five steps, so my five steps are an intake. So they go to funnelmarketingblueprint.com and it takes them about 5 minutes. And I ask for the opt-in after they've answered all the questions. It's a reverse opt-in, which I believe in, and I've led the charge on for about 10 years. And I still have people who tell me, hey, it doesn't work. I go, great. I hope you compete with me because I'm going to slaughter you, right? So that's the first step. The second step is I take them through a group discovery session. So, you know, every week I have a group discovery session on a Google Hangout, and a lot of people are watching, and I'm just role playing, and I take them through the set, you know, the 13 steps, and it takes about half an hour. And then step three is they go to an intake. An example, if anyone wants to rip it off, is marketingonline.com/intake. And that is for a one-to-one. So if they made the cut, now they go from group, then one-to-one. And every step is another about face that the woman is doing feeding pigeons. You see, so each step is building deeper and deeper rapport, and we're disqualifying people as we're going. And then the fourth step is having a private session. And we have setters and spikers. I like volleyball as an analogy. A lot of people call it setters and closers, but I don't like the word closer because I think the close is done way before, you know, it's seeded, you know, to use the analogy right. With bird seeds. It's seeded way before. So a setter and a spiker, the setter does most of the work that has come through both intakes and the group session. And then the spiker, you know, ends up, you know, getting the sale as long as they reconfirm that they believe in my core values, which, you know, if people are curious, there's an acronym CARE, C-A-R-E. Most people don't remember their core values. They got to look at their laptop. Hey, what are my core values again? So my core values are commitment, accountability, reliability, and engagement. And those are the nouns. I have adjectives before them. All-in commitment. What kind of commitment? All-in, like in poker. Self-initiated accountability, not accountability I'm going to initiate, self-initiated. R stands for reliability, but speedy reliability. I don't want you just reliable next year. I want you reliable as soon as possible. And then engagement, devoted engagement, meaning, you know, they're engaged. They're not multitasking. My team is engaged with their team and with our students. So CARE is the acronym, you know, commitment, accountability, reliability, and engagement. Anyone who has core values, I recommend find an acronym. And even if you have to settle for the word, you know, go to Wikipedia and find a word that, you know, fits. But it's super, super important. So step four is the private strategy session. And that lasts about half an hour. And they go, wow, this is a long process. Yes, it is. So does an acorn go to a giant oak? For $100,000, I go through a process. It takes about a week. And then the call to action is 100K first, 30K, 12K. And if they say no to all, we wait a week and we say, hey, we have a stripped down version at $5,000. And it sounds like super low end, 5% of 100K. And you'd be shocked at how many people say yes to the 30K because 100 is not in their budget. Sure. So, you know, that's the process. And if there's one linchpin to the whole thing, think COI, cost of inaction, and stop selling on ROI, return on investment, because you can't guarantee ROI. You can always guarantee COI because they're telling you what their COI is.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, Alex, I could literally take notes all day long from you. You're such a great teacher, and I've always just admired your work. But I know you got a ton more stuff you got to do. So if a person wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way of doing it? What's their next logical step as far as how do they get more of the COI? And you'd even refer to as far as the different questions, as far as 12 questions and things. How do they get all that stuff?
Okay. Well, there's a foolproof discovery session script that it took me about 5 years to develop. It was 6 pages, then 3, then 2 for like many years, and then it went to 1. And rather than getting a hold of me, I mean, you can ignore me if you're listening. If you just want the, if you want the checklist, then you go to accessinfluence.com. It's not access manipulation or access motivation or access cheating. It's access influence, because influence, it's your choice to go there. Does it require an opt-in? Yeah. We don't even ask for your first name because most people don't tell us their real first name anyway. So you just go there. You opt in. Once you get the checklist, you'll see the 13 questions. And then you can opt out at any time because unless you think this is a winnable game and you're playing to win, there's no reason for us to, you know, interact with each other. But I have people opt in just to see my, you know, my funnel in the way I sent emails and stuff. And then the ones that think they're really clever, I go, you want me to show you how to do it? And they go, yeah. Okay, $100,000. No, it's not in my budget. Okay, 30. Well, that's not in my budget either. How about 12?
And then wait a week and you get 5.
Exactly. So what I just did there is I'm seeding anyone listening, whether or not they're interested in moving forward, you plant seeds anyway, because very few germinate. People don't realize, like, it takes thousands of redwood seeds for a giant redwood to grow. I have redwoods where I live in Marin County. Some are 1,500 years old. You can drive a car through them if you plowed a hole through the middle. But there were thousands of seeds before one sprang up. This changes the playing field. Foolproof means I've learned from other people's mistakes. Fool means I learned from my own mistakes. And that's way too much work. So foolproof means that learning from others. And this is what I've learned. So, none of it is really original, but it is innovative. And I found it to be almost rejection free.
You can't ask for more than that. Well, Alex, anything else you want to share with people before we cut you off here and let you get back to all the other major things you got going in your life?
Well, I just appreciate how much value you place on getting the message out. And we just had a casual conversation that we were stumbling upon, talking about a completely different subject. And you were gracious enough to invite me to the show, which I didn't even know that you had. So I'm very grateful, for this exposure. And it does further my cause, which is a crusade. It's not a campaign, of influencing a million other coaches and consultants, or anyone who wants to call himself that. If you're a parent, you're a coach. And, just using this process, whether I make money from it or not, because it will give sales a better name. So I want to thank you for allowing the platform to happen.
Oh, Alex, it's my pleasure. Honestly, I hope everyone listens to this really a couple of times. You've dropped so many important nuggets of truth and really of just the ability to understand people and how to be really authentic. I mean, which you've always been. Again, Alex, you're a master teacher. I love that you took time out of your busy schedule to work with us today. And again, if there's anything obviously we can ever do for you, I'm just a Skype call away. So just let me know, bud.
Thank you, Dave. And I'm not shy. You know that.
I know. Thanks again, Alex.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.